Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, and I'm joined back from hiatus, back from vacation. This man was on the shores of Spain. He is looking as sun-kissed as he ever has been. Waves crashing all over his body. Nando, welcome back to Los Angeles, brother.
Dude, I went to Spain and the country fell apart in my absence. I don't know what I did. You know, I guess I was holding this whole thing together.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Apparently, the Dems thought the Supreme Court leak was fake.
Yeah.
Just a thought. They seem to be completely caught off guard by this stuff. We're going to get into that. I want to talk about Ron DeSantis at some point on the show, because I was on TYT talking about this, like, no more woke bill that he dropped.
Where he's what was that?
He's basically, like, prohibiting colleges from teaching racial studies in Florida. Like, he's...
Shit.
His wingnut stuff is, like, I don't know. I think it's fascinating what he's doing. It's like a test case. Anyway, we can get into that later, because Florida is your native home state. You know, you live in California now, but... You're a Florida boy, so I would love to get your thoughts on what DeSantis is doing ahead of 2024. But yeah, you mentioned at the top of the show that the country is falling apart. It's crazy, man. Like, I don't know what the Democratic or liberal equivalent of this could even be. You know, like, that the Dems could strike this decisive a blow against something that Republicans really love and also go against the whims of the people. Like, I don't even... that doesn't exist as a Democratic Party concept or plank. They just would never do something like this. They just wouldn't. I think the conservatives felt like... 40 years of support from the evangelical right, they kind of owed them a scalp, and they cashed that damn chip in and gave them one. Like, I'm not going to lie, I was somebody who was very skeptical at the idea that Roe v. Wade would ever be overturned, because it doesn't align with any of Mitch McConnell or big money Republicans, what their goals are, what they want. They don't care about this type of shit. you know, they care about deregulating stuff and shoveling as much wealth back up to the top as possible. This kind of culture war type of stuff. Like, if Mitch McConnell needs to get his side piece in abortion, that's not even a question. Like, that's happening. That's easy. Yeah. You know, the idea that they would care about this much, and knowing the level of support that the law has just out in the country, even amongst a bunch of their constituents. Like, most people think if you need one, you should have the opportunity to get one. And so for them to be behind this and watch this happen is kind of crazy. And, you know, the response, to be honest, from Democrats is about as predictable as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the feeling that you get watching the situation in which this kind of rabid right-wing minoritarian party, but that actually understands power and how to wield it very effectively, just dismantles like every what's the little that's left of the American state. I mean, there's obviously the Roe v. Wade decision, which we talked about, which is just, like you said, pretty stunning. It feels like a Rubicon has been passed in a certain way. Like, you know, like the lurch towards some form of fascism or whatever, that it feels kind of like that, you know, that it's a significant moment past. But then, you know, just as like way more quietly, the Supreme Court said that something like the EPA could not regulate pollution in this country. And it's like, you know, what are we doing? Like,
which that to dismantling... me is definitely more in line with what I thought these guys would want to do.
Totally. It's one. It's tit for tat. You know, like you give them one and we take one for us. You know, you give the hogs, crazies. You know, the crazies a little meat. And then you take one that like literally no one was thinking about. Like, oh, shit. You know, that's like just straight up like an oil company like desire and build that like literally no one else wants. But like threatens at the heart of government's power to regulate any corporation for anything, like the administrative state to do anything. And then, oh, by the way, you know, gun laws, unconstitutional, you know, gun control laws, like every state can just like, you could just do concealed carry in New York City right now where you're from. You've talked about that a million times, how it's been impossible, like it's really difficult to get a gun in New York City. And it, you know, probably does contribute to, you know, New York, everyone's fucking on top of each other in New York.
Yeah.
You know, you throw a bunch of fucking concealed carry in there, you know, when some guy goes like, hey, I'm walking here, it's a pizza ridiculous. Place, boom, shoot you, you know? you know, and then you see on the other side, just such a glaring lack of any ability to rise to the occasion, right? You know, like, just a butter knife to, you know, like to a gunfight, absolutely, like just... this idea that the Democratic Party, as it's currently constituted with Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and all those other, you know, 90-year-old freaks at the top of it, the idea that they would do anything at the scale that would be required to confront this, like something like, oh, you know, just pack adding court. Supreme Court yeah, justice. Pack yeah, the pack court. The court. Or just ignoring the court. Like, just fucking ignoring it. See, what are they going to do? Like, what are they going to do?
The court. Make them illegitimate. Yep.
The court doesn't have any cops, you know, like mm-hmm. what, like there's no power behind it. It's just a purely like if you accept it, then that's it. Like you could, you know, kind of overrule the power of judicial review, like just kind of dare the courts to do something. Like, what are they going to do? And they're just not going to do it because it would require a fundamentally different, like such a fundamentally different mindset. It's almost like wishing the sky were green. You know, mm-hmm. And increasingly, like I've just been feeling like the there is going to be things are going to get much worse before they get better. There is going to eventually be some major crisis point in which people will eventually mm-hmm. put up some form of meaningful resistance. Right. Not just like, you know, an Instagram post or whatever, like that there will be meaningful people will be desperate enough for there to be meaningful resistance. And when that happens, the political kind of landscape will change and maybe the Democratic Party or it will collapse or whatever. But like the status quo right now is just leaves no political openings. The problem is that things can get better for a long time before that happens. I mean, things can get worse for a long time before that happens. Like, it might be within the next 5 years, but it might be within the next 25 years. And, like, that's a long-ass time. Like, that's, like, by then, you, me and you, Waz, will be fucking old. You know what I mean? And,
I'll be done.
Yeah, you'll be done.
I'll be done with it for sure.
But yeah, I mean, that's the grim reality of American politics right now. And then, you know, you sense that the frustration in people, and the not just the frustration, but the resignation in people, where you have 4th of July and you get two mass shootings and it's just like,
That sucks. Life goes on. It's almost like watching a fender bender, honestly. The way people look at it, like, oh, man, wonder who's at fault. Wonder how much that's going to cost. Wow, all right, cool, let's keep it pushing. Yeah, again, we spend a lot of time on here, and I've said this before, but, like, we do spend a lot of time talking shit about the Democrats. But, again, I would submit to anybody who is still a staunch, you know, Democratic Party, I'm a blue person, true blue, I love them, they are just great, they're awesome. I don't know how you could defend these cats. Again, I just couldn't see this happening under a party that was led by Mitch McConnell. So many fucking threats would have been lobbied at this court already about what they would do collectively as a party to just strip these guys of power and straight up, like, you guys can do this, and you guys can be the justices who forever delegitimize this court, straight up and down. We can make this a tit for tat thing where Republicans and Democrats get in this office and just add as many judges as they want to forever, and you guys will no longer have any power. Y'all can go down as the people who did that. Again, like, these people just make no threats. There's just nothing. It's just like, no, this is completely fine. And they can't ever bring themselves to be like, yo, these institutions have failed. They are such, and you know, you kind of understand why they love and believe in the institutions so much, right? If you're Joe Biden, the apparatuses of these institutions made Joe dumbass president. So how could you not think that it's awesome? If you're Nancy Pelosi, same thing. Like, a lot of these people, they believe in the awesomeness of themselves so much. They can't. And the same with Barry. It's like, this system, this process produced me, the first black president. It has to be perfect. It has to be awesome because it made me. And so that's why they behave the way they do. Mitch McConnell don't think that. Mitch McConnell's like, yo, there's a job that needs to be done. These are the mechanisms by which we get those jobs done. But there's nothing sacred about any of this fucking shit. There's nothing sacred about the Senate. There's nothing sacred about the idea that a duly elected president gets to pick
his
own judges.
This is like American bullshit. Like, this is American bullshit. We're the fucking youngest. I mean, maybe because I just got back from Europe, which is like a thousand, you know, like year old fucking thing, you know, let alone like India or China, which is like fucking 5,000 year old societies. You know, America's some fucking bullshit 200 year old country. They don't know fucking shit, you know, like nothing is sacred. Come on. No traditions. Go fuck yourself.
But again,
you know?
But compare Joe Biden's response to what Mitch McConnell did to Barry when he wanted to appoint Merrick fucking Merrick Garland. Like, it's just, to me, that's equal. Like, Mitch McConnell's like, no, fuck you. You don't get to do this. Yeah. I don't care that this is American precedent. You don't get to do this, motherfucker. Fuck you. And life went right along ticking.
Yeah.
And the Dems just got their dicks kicked in, and they just went right along. Okay, Mitch, no problem. And then they watch this shit happen. It's like, well, what can we do, guys? What can we do?
The thing is, like, when you... Sometimes I'll, like, a tweet about it or something, and someone will respond like, well, genius, like, what's your bright ideas? Like, what can they do? And it's like, I mean, the point, it's ridiculous because they can do stuff, but there is a certain truth to it because, like I said, it's in order to do something meaningful and drastic for any sort of progressive or whatever you want, like any left movement, it has to come with a base of working class support that is unified, large, and powerful. That has been the case always, always in across any thing ever. You know what I mean? Like, look at any progressive change in here, Europe, or Latin America, or whatever. Like, it's always come because of that. The leadership of the Democratic Party and most of the people in the Democratic Party at this point in time are so far removed from the working class. I mean, there was a funny tweet that this guy was like, Nancy Pelosi just sent me an email begging, you know, being like, Nando, I'm horrified. I need $15 or like I'm going to kill myself. Meanwhile, there was a picture of her. You know that famous horse race in Italy, like in a town where they run around the thing? Super like rich guy bucket list thing that like every rich guy has on their bucket list to go see. It's like this old traditional race. She was there like at the presidential balcony just like watching the race like on vacation in Italy while she's like, you know what? And it's like they're so far removed from any meaningful working class movement that it's literally impossible to imagine it. And while I was on while I was in Spain, I was reading Hunter S. Thompson's book on the 1972 election, Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail. It's like considered like one of the classic books about American politics. And I always say that to like really understand the breakdown of American society, you need to understand America in the 1970s, which is when kind of mass politics was killed off in America. The union movement was killed. The Democratic Party did the full neoliberal turn, which decoupled it from the working class and basically created the situation that we live in today. And this, the reason why we're stuck, the beginning, the origins of that was in the 1970s. So I always love to read books about politics in the 1970s. I literally never read about the 90s or the 80s. It's like not interesting to me. The 1970s is when shit happened. And reading Hunter S. Thompson at the time, you know, Hunter S. Thompson was like a lefty and, you know, a progressive. I mean, he wasn't like a socialist or anything like that, but he was like a progressive kind of left of the Democratic Party.
More than anything, he hated establishment type right-wingers, but establishment type figures really grinded that guy's gears.
Totally.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise, but maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
And he, you know, like he writes about, because he was writing from the beginning of the Democratic Party's kind of turn away from working class politics and their neoliberal turn. But he was sensing it already in the moment. You know, he was there in 1968 when they killed in the convention. They basically eliminated the left candidate Gene McCarthy and installed Hubert Humphrey as the Democratic Party nominee. And he to him, that was like the most horrifying thing ever. And he goes, I just have a couple of quotes here. Like, what the hell is the sense of trying to hold the Democratic Party together if it's really just a party of expediency, something that's put together every 4 years? Yeah. And then he wrote, the only way to save the Democratic Party is to destroy it. Like, he knew back then, he was like sensing that turn back then. And like, on it, like, nothing has changed since then. It's just gotten worse. It's like way worse. Like, like those shitty Democrats from back then, like Hubert Humphrey and whatever, I mean, it would be like Bernie Sanders today, you know, like they'd be considered like AOC, you know? Mm-hmm. And it goes to show, like, that was 50 years ago. That election was literally 50 years ago. And we're still living in the era that kind of was ushered in then. Are we going to come to the end of that era? We probably are. It's going to be scary because change is always scary, but it's necessary to break out of this rut that we're in.
Yeah. And in the meantime, the right wingers are going to run a fucking muck. There's just no doubt about it. And again, they don't have a worthy opposition. The Democrats are a fucking joke. And guess what? I guarantee you, before these establishment types ever get on board with the new wave of whatever the left of this country wants to do, they will become right wingers. They will essentially become the frums of the Democratic Party. They'll be like, no, I saw it firsthand when these crazies wanted to give people minimum wage hikes. It was insane. I couldn't believe the shit myself. They're going to be the ones on the Sunday shows talking about how crazy normal people who kick their dumb asses out are. And they will be, I'm telling you, they will be the Frums. They will be the Charlie Sykes, all of these clown ass refugee, never Trump idiots. Because guess what, man? All of those people at the top, and I'm not going to lie, I used to be a snobby person when I hear people call, you know, the corrupt duopoly, oh, these motherfuckers are the same, blah, 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 blah. I used to really turn my nose up at that type of rhetoric and be like, well, you're not really paying attention. The truth is, like, they are fucking right. They're right, bro. Yeah. Like, these people are enablers. These people are their co-conspirators. Because, again, I can't say this enough because it's about the court. When it came to the sanctity of the institution and the norms and the this and the that, Mitch McConnell told y'all to suck his dick and like it. With no consequences.
Well, why don't you suck my dick?
He did this with the court. The Democrats would just never do this. They just would never do it. And why? They're fine with this shit. They don't see it as dire. They don't see it as an emergency. They're not going to break any glasses, grab an axe, and take a fucking axe to this whole Supreme Court thing. They don't see it that way. And there's no proof that they do. And again, the people, like the three most important people in the party, Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden. I mean, are you fucking shitting me? Yeah. Are you shitting me? You can't be serious with these folks, man. It's a joke.
The liberals, like, will always kind of, I don't want to say ally with fascism, but lie down to fascism rather than join up with the left, you know? And I just think about, for example, the 2016 or 2020 Democratic primary campaigns when Bernie was running against liberals and the things that liberals would say to him, you know, about like how he just doesn't know how to get things done in Washington, you know, like blah, 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 blah. Like, just imagine a Supreme Court overturning abortion while Bernie was president. And I guarantee you that something dude will done. Be fucking scorched earth. Like, he would fucking just be, would not shut the fuck up about it all day. He'd be fucking out there in the country rallying support, generating huge crowds, enthusiasm to resist, encouraging people to, you know, do what they can to do this. Like, he would not shut the fuck up about it. He'd go to Congress. He'd like, he would just like make this, I mean, whether he would succeed or not, I don't know. But like, he would be fucking fighting, you know, like he'd be fighting for you. Like, he'd be fighting for the women, you know, and like that won't be able to have access to abortion and will have to possibly die or go to jail if they, you know, if they help their friend get an abortion or something. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be actually fighting, if not like what the Democrats are doing now, which is just sending a bunch of fucking emails asking for $15. Like, it's really frustrating, and it's really just kind of like the feeling of political impotence that has overcome the country right now is hard to see a way out of. I mean, there's going to be some sort of major rupture point. And again, it's hard. It's going to be impossible to predict, but it's going to eventually happen. Like, there's eventually going to be a crack. And then the question is, like, what happens then? How does the system react then? How do people react then? Because eventually people will resist. Like, that's true of everything. You know, when things get bad enough, people resist and will resist. And things will just continue to be getting steadily worse under the current political conditions.
Well, it's funny, Nando, that you would ask where this thing is going. And I think people really need to start keeping an eye on this DeSantis guy. He's the governor of Florida. He's a Republican. He is running, like, I'm fascinated by what he's doing because he's obviously going to oppose Trump for the nomination. He's lined up a shit ton of money. I don't think it's a coincidence that a bunch of crypto bros and tech bros have moved to South Florida, have moved to the state, have pledged an alliance with this guy. They're backing him. He's lined up a shit ton of resources, and what he's trying to do is he's running a experiment, or like, this is like a scrimmage, basically. You know, if his eventual presidency is the actual game, this is a scrimmage. This is a trial run. This is like, no, this is what it's going to look like when you make me president of America. I am going to get every single wingnut thing that you ever wanted done. All of it. And in Florida, like, he is literally leaving no stone unturned down there. Recently, which we talked about at the top of the show, he said there's no more woke law that he just passed, where he's basically telling colleges, like, yo, y'all can't be doing all this racially divisive stuff. We're going to tie funding to it. We're going to, you know, interrupt the freaking tenure rules, all kinds of shit. Basically, we're going to, the accreditation system, we coming at you motherfuckers because you guys shouldn't be indoctrinating our children. Now, mind you, Nando, this is a guy who went to Yale and Harvard. Okay. Yeah. This is a dude who, man, said this on TYT, like, the only reason you get to be governor of Florida is the connections you made at Yale and Harvard, my brother. Like, we know the vibes. And all this is gonna do is just make schools in Miami, schools in Florida just less desirable, make the people who have to go there less desirable job candidates. It's not like whatever, but I think he's running a trial balloon as to, like, this is how it's done. He's going to say, look, Donald Trump had 4 years in office. He had power. He was the executive. He did dick. Look at what I've done in Florida while I've been in power. I went to the mattresses for you motherfuckers, and I'm just fascinated watching this shit, Nando.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said DeSantis is really clever in that he has understood that the source of any right-wing politician's power with voters is to provoke the libs. Make their hair go on fire, and your power will only grow. You know, and DeSantis is particularly wise in how he pokes the liberal bear. He knows exactly how to push those buttons, you know. And it's horrifying. Like, don't get me wrong, it's horrifying. But from a kind of political strategy standpoint, it makes total sense, because the madder the liberals get, the more his popularity increases. And in a polarized country in which there is no more kind of reasonable center, that just simply does not exist anymore. It's all about how fired up do you get your people, your side. And listen, what do like the Republican voters love? When the fucking annoying liberal person that they know is like, oh my God, can you believe what Ron DeSantis just did? You know, like, and you know, and again, the liberals have like no answer for that. You know, they have no equivalent kind of version of that. And they have no way to get their voters fired up. That being said, like, I you know, I'm from Florida, so all my friends are back at home in Florida. And we had like a spirited group chat debate because not all of them, but a lot of them like love Ron.
Of course.
And they're like, he's going to be president. And I'm like, wait, not so fast. We still got the possibility of Donald Trump coming back. And if Trump decides to run, he's going to eat Ron DeSantis for fucking breakfast. You know? Like, he's like, oh, but Ron DeSantis would like destroy him in debates. And I'm like, No, he's not. I remember when people were like, oh, Chris Christie, have you ever seen him on CNN? Did you see him talk down to the head of the teachers union? He's going to own Trump in a debate. Donald Trump ended Chris Christie's life. His soul exited his body when Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump leaked a story in the media in which they said that Chris Christie had to fetch his McDonald's order. Ended him. Trump will destroy Ron DeSantis. Trump is the real thing. Trump has actual celebrity magnetism. Mm. Trump has been a celebrity in this country for a very, very long time, for 40 years. And that's really what matters in the theater of American politics, is who has that kind of ability to be a celebrity, to be like magnetic and charismatic in front of a camera. Which is why fucking Ronald Reagan won the presidency, even though he's an idiot actor. That's why Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor of California. Being a major, major, major celebrity is a huge leg up. Not to mention the fact that Trump has way more name recognition, given that he was like the fucking president. When people are like, you know, DeSantis is going to be the next president of America, and I'm like,
I don't want to say maybe he's the next president. I just think it's an interesting, like, what he's doing is interesting as just game theory, as just being like, you had 4 years in office. You did nothing but drop a tax cut. This is what I did when I had power. I like actually did stuff legislatively. I passed shit for my people. And, you know, I think that's an interesting sell. I think it's horrifying. I think people should be scared shitless of this guy being close to the levers of power at the executive level. But I think it's fascinating that what he's doing is just trying to rack up as many sort of wingnut. What do they call the shit that the Boy Scouts of America get?
Whenever badges.
Wingnut badges. He's trying to get as many wingnut Boy Scout badges as possible to arm himself when he inevitably goes up against Trump.
He's also going to run on the fact that he was the first to oppose like COVID mandates, mask mandates, all that stuff. You know, he's going to run on that shit. You know what I mean? And people are going to love it.
People are going to love it.
Ron DeSantis, man. Fucking A, my governor. My governor, baby. Can't wait. But yeah, no, I mean, we talked about this with Trump. We used to talk about this with Mike all the time. Like, right-wing populists, they thrive. Their power derives from their very unreasonableness. You know what I mean? Their very unreasonableness is what is the source of their power, because it pisses off the people that everybody hates. You know, like the reasonable people in power. So the early test case for this was Berlusconi, in which like Berlusconi would just like do and say ridiculous shit all the time. You know, like there's a hilarious story. There's a hilarious video of Berlusconi at the European Parliament. Okay, this is like a perfect example of what I'm talking about. There's a speech in the European Parliament by some fucking old ass Austrian guy who's like haranguing him for something that he said. And Berlusconi the whole time is just staring, like just like looking up like this, like not paying attention, just like smiling and whatever. When the guy finally is done with his like speech, just like haranguing him about something, Berlusconi gets up there and he goes like, says something like, "The gentleman from Austria had some very kind words, but I think he's just jealous about the fact that, you know, in his country, we don't have, you don't have the beautiful sun, the beautiful weather that we have in Italy, the great Colosseum and the great monuments and the great art that we have and the beautiful women who look amazing. And the, and you know what? I have this friend who is producing a movie about World War II, and I'm actually going to recommend to him that he cast the gentleman from Austria as the Nazi villain, as the Nazi general in a movie." And the face of this guy, when he's like telling him to his face that he like he's going to cast him in the Nazi movie, he was like, you know, the cartoon with smoke coming out of his ears. And what he didn't realize is that that's not making him look good. It's making him look ridiculous. You know, it's making him look like he doesn't have a sense of humor, that he doesn't like, can't take a joke and whatever.
When Trump, everybody was, hates that guy.
Everybody fucking hates that guy. When Trump was coming up and the libs were like, you know, like their hair was on fire. The whole point, like the Berlusconi example was perfect. It's like you, what you can't do is you can't get mad like that. You know, you can get, you can like rally support and, you know, resist and all that stuff. But like, you can't like, you can't let it get to you in that way. Because when it's an obvious provocation, that's like when any bully, like the worst thing you can do is let it get to you, because then they fucking sense it and then they just keep doing it. If it, if they're, if you're not getting to them, if they're not getting to you, then they're just going to move on to the next guy, you know? So like, that's the thing is like, I always urge people is like, try not to get so mad about it all the time. You know, have a clear-eyed political analysis and have political, deep-seated political convictions that you believe deeply. But don't get mad when they're trying to provoke you. It's obvious what's going on.
Yeah, man, beautifully said. I don't have anything else to add. That was our show for today. We'll catch you guys next week. Nando, we're happy you're back from vacation. Tell the people what you did while you were in Spain. Just a brief recap. I'm sure people want to know about this.
Well, you know, I went to Madrid, where my family's from. You know, hung out there for a while. You know, had some food. Bessner and his girl were there. You know, friend of the show. We had a great time. Then I went up to San Sebastian. I had just the best food in the world. Then I hung out with my mom up in north of Barcelona, and then I went to Ibiza for a few days.
Lord have mercy. That just sounds like the perfect European excursion. Very jealous of you. That was our show for today, guys. We'll catch you guys next week. Make sure you become a Patreon of Count the Dings for less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks a month, man. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.